Welcome fathers who are looking to inspire their kids and become fearless. This is the Become a Fearless Father show and I'm your host, Klaas van Oosterhout. I'm a father of two boys, husband and entrepreneur. This show is created to teach you how to take control and enjoy the most difficult job you've ever faced, fatherhood. I'm going to keep it real and share real life experience. A heads up, there is no magic pill. You will have to put in the hours, sweat and tears to achieve victory. Are you ready to improve your health, wealth, relationships, knowledge and become the hero your family needs you to be? I know you are. So get your pen and paper ready and let's become fearless fathers together.
Become a Fearless Father is live with Sean. I'm afraid to pronounce your last name because I'm afraid I'm going to say it wrong. So if you don't mind.
Yeah, Cannell. No, I appreciate you asking. Sean Cannell.
Cool, thanks. Yeah, sometimes I make a mistake. And I like it when people say my name correctly as well. So, man, I'm so glad you're on. I was excited all week and some communication went wrong, but we're here. And first of all, dude, congratulations on the book. That's so exciting. I saw some of the videos. It looks great. I even saw Owen share the book with raving comments. So that's awesome. Oh, you got it. There you go. YouTube Secrets.
Yeah. Super excited. YouTube Secrets out now. Appreciate it.
Yeah, that's awesome. We're going to be talking about it throughout the whole interview. I got tons of questions for you. So I actually really hope that we're going to get through them all. If not, then hey, that's what it is. But I'm really excited to start learning from you. Let's start off first, Sean, with, introduce yourself a little bit to the people that don't know you yet, and what has the journey been for you to get you where you are now?
Yeah, so my name is Sean Cannell, and my passion is helping people build their influence with online video and YouTube. I've been doing video production since really 2003. And way back then, I was volunteering at my local church an hour north of Seattle in a small town. And the youth pastor, I was just volunteering in the youth group, he handed me a video camera and some editing software called Adobe Premiere, which is what I still use today, like 100 versions ago. And he said, hey, start making videos. And I tell you what, like your first videos are always going to be your worst videos because I started making these weekly video announcements and they were terrible. Like, I hope nobody ever sees those, right? But it was nice because that was the process of like starting to create content. And so I did them also every week. So even before social media started, because YouTube started in 2005, Facebook like 2007, Instagram like 2010, you know, I was doing this stuff back then and it was nice because I was getting used to creating regular content, editing, being on camera, talking on camera, shooting pictures for thumbnails. And so that was kind of I didn't go to school for any of this stuff, but I just learned in the trenches and I've always been, you know, passionate about self-education, meaning like courses and conferences and events and mentorship and coaching. But yeah, fast forward to today. And now, I've done a lot of different projects over the years, but now full time, we're basically running a media education company that's helping people learn how to leverage video to grow their brands, impact more people, make more money. And then we also are kind of YouTubers ourselves. I'm kind of a tech YouTuber, so I cover the latest cameras, lighting, and all those types of things as well.
Nice. Thanks for sharing that. You mentioned a couple of things that I'm interested in talking about a little bit more deeply along the way. I got a question that popped into my head when you mentioned that first videos, that they're always terrible. And I was wondering, and I was thinking, yep. Is that one of the things that scares people the most? For not starting a YouTube channel or coming out with their own content?
Absolutely. I think that fear is a major player in most people's lives because I know it was in mine. And there's a lot of fears. I think fear of how are we going to look and sound on camera. You know, we grew up, you and I too, right? Where we remember like voice answering machines, right? Where you'd call a landline and like leave a message. So you'd get home and you'd hit that play button, like kunk, and it would like play that message. And if you left your own message, you know, and you got home before your spouse or something, you'd be like, you'd hear your own voice and you'd be like, is that what I really sound like? You know? And so the reality is true about video as well. You're like, wait, do I do that weird twitchy thing with my eye? Or like, that's how my voice sounds? Or I didn't know. And you kind of just got to get through that. You know, I think we're actually our own harshest critics. where other people understand that life's real, that people stumble, that people make mistakes, but it can just be so easy to get paralyzed by fear about getting on camera, about not knowing what to say, about having that deer in the headlights look when you get on there. But like I said, your first videos are going to be your worst videos. What's stunning to me is there's no industry that that's not true. I mean, take going for the gym, for example, right? If you're going to go work out, you haven't been working out maybe ever, or it's been years. It's horrible walking into that place, right? You're walking in, you don't, you're like not wearing the right clothes. Obviously you're out of shape. You go over to the machine, you're like looking at the picture, trying to do it. You're like backwards. Everyone's staring at you, judging you, like, you know, whatever. That's just because like you haven't been doing it. But as you keep going and you keep learning, then, you know, 6 months later, a year later, you like roll right in, you like give a fist bump to the person at the front desk. They're like, what up? And then like, you know, you got your moves down, your strength is there. So it's just like anything. It's kind of like the Nike saying, you just got to do it. I think that there's so much opportunity with social media, with online video right now, no matter what your goals are, like business, nonprofit, church, no matter what it is, you got to get through that season of fear. You got to get through that season of perfectionism and really just punch fear in the face and press record.
Exactly. Exactly. So yeah, what I got from that is that the best way to become fearless, to overcome your fears, when you start or at the beginning of doing something, you just do it over and over and over and over again until you just, you know, it becomes innate and natural within you. Great. I really love that. As you know, my new project is called Become a Fearless Father. I was talking to Susan about this because she's like, well, Sean's not a father yet. So how does this click in? So just a little bit for the audience out there, why I invited Sean and why I'm so excited to have him here is that for me, a fearless father must be an entrepreneur. And reason number one is, you know, he has more time to be with his children. Mm. And, you know, reason number two, you have the possibility to make a huge impact in the world. And that for me is so important, not just to make the impact, but also to teach your children as soon as possible from an early age on to do just that, to make an impact, even if it's just around, you know, with his friends. And that's what I'm trying to teach my sons. So I'm just wondering, you know, what is your philosophy when it comes to entrepreneurship? Becomes, you know, be an entrepreneur.
Yeah, that's a great question. And, you know, it is an interesting journey. I'm about to turn 35 in November this year. And part of the thing that led us on this journey, just for a little backstory of where we're doing today, was actually some really the hardest season I've ever been through around 2008. So I met my wife, Sonia, in 2005. And we were married. We got married at 21, super young. And after a couple years of marriage, 2 years, she went on a trip to the Philippines and got really sick. And so she came back and started losing all of this weight, and we didn't know what was going on. And eventually she almost died. And it was the hardest season of our life because we were dual income. She was working as well. And I'm working multiple jobs trying to make it, and I'm doing ministry, which doesn't pay really at all. And she's working multiple jobs. We had bought a house because it was during the climb, but then the Big Short happens, you know, here in America. And so we can't afford the house we're in. We actually had a rental property too. They lost their jobs, so they're not paying anymore. So that we're losing our homes. We're losing jobs. My wife's health is in total, like, we just don't know what's happening. And then eventually she gets so sick that we end up in the hospital for 6 days. And that was probably the most transformational week of my life, if I'm honest. And it was during that week that I was asking these questions like, God, why is this happening? But also like, what am I going to do as a leader? You know, I think a fearless father, they need to be a leader, right? You're the visionary. You're leading your home, you're leading your family. And that's something that's very much on our heart. But this health journey is part of our journey as it pertains to kids. And it was during those 6 days in the hospital where I started really having kind of like a conversation with God about feeling like, man, I got to step up. Like I got to step up as a leader, as a provider, as you know, at this point now, I might need to be carrying a heavy load. We'll see. That's what you, when you get married, it's through sickness and health. And so if that's whatever that situation is. So it was during that time, I had also been studying the internet, entrepreneurship, and the reality that you could, like you said, get some time freedom, get location freedom. And now as I'm looking at, I'm like, well, if my wife can't work, I want to be able to stay at home and work from home. When we move into the kids season, I started thinking, A, I need more freedom and flexibility either in my work, or I need enough revenue to maybe hire a nanny or hire somebody. So all of these things were going through my head during that time, and a new resolve, a new resilience, a new focus, a new clarity rose up in me to say, you know, I can play a bigger game. I've been comfortable with the way things have been, but now things are changing. And so as the mountains get steeper, you know, I can get better and fitter and be fit for this task. And so it's really been since that time. We talk about, you know, reasons come before results. My philosophy for entrepreneurship is that I think targeting money or targeting followers or targeting business growth is important, but I think having deep reasons as to what you want to do. And so that was where I was tapping into reasons like, man, I got to take care of my family, you know? Number two, it's like, I got to live up to my God-given potential. Number three, we're living through such a revolution on the planet right now. There's also just massive opportunity. I mean, I could look at the glass half full with the circumstances that we were dealt, but I could also look at it or half empty. I could look at it half full because, man, the fact that the internet does exist, social media does exist, making money online is a reality. Time freedom, location freedom, all this stuff is a reality. And so that's been a huge blessing. And so that was 2010. That's kind of became my North Star. And since that time, I started moving towards that, trying to figure out how to do this stuff I do today, trying to figure out how to make money and provide for my family and automate things and get this stuff going. And so I don't know if that answered your question, but that was sort of the inciting event. And since that time, you know, by the way, just as an update, you know, my wife does have a chronic illness. We have a surgery coming up. But in the midst of it, we've really learned that, you know, you can thrive even in the midst of challenges. Everybody's got stuff, right? Everybody, we don't know what someone's health challenge is, or what the relationship challenge is, or the parent they're taking care of, or the child that has maybe some kind of a disability or just something. You know, everybody's got stuff. And I think we can get kind of under the water and almost feel like we're drowning, or we can also realize that God has woven greatness in our DNA and start swimming and realize, yeah, it's hard. It's less than ideal, but for whatever level, I can't change this. I'm going to do what I can do, which is work harder, get more focused, get more disciplined, look for opportunities, not give up, keep going for it. And that's kind of been our response since then. And so on a macro level too, we are figuring out the kids thing. It may be adoption for us as we work through these health challenges. It may be, you know, God willing, natural or any combination of the above, but we're still in that process for sure.
Wow. That was really powerful, Shauna. Thank you so much for sharing. And yeah, some really personal things for you. It's amazing how you've made the worst of times and turned it into, maybe not the best of times, but really turned it around to like really something powerful and beautiful. And the work you're doing with all your, the people that you're impacting with what you're explaining about YouTube is huge. So amazing. I hope people pick that up. I sometimes wonder, and I always ask that as well, like maybe we sometimes blessed with the bad things that happen and take it and yeah. Wonderful. Thanks so much. I really hope. Sorry, I'm stuttering a little bit.
Hey, sorry for the interruption. I know you're really enjoying the show. Just want to make sure if you're liking this information, please subscribe and press the like button. And also go visit becomeafearlessfather.com. You get the opportunity to share your biggest challenge at the moment as a father. And it gives me the opportunity to try and help you overcome this. Thanks and enjoy the rest of the show.
No, that's great. Awesome. And you saying that, you know, what's interesting is I really do believe, and that's, it's a perspective thing, right? It's how we're framing things, but also it's never the easy road that develops strong character. It's never the easy road. You know, there's a phrase, difficult roads often lead to beautiful destinations. So it's interesting. And this is a stunning thing showing the courage and character of my wife, who she's even said, you know, I wouldn't have changed this. And I don't know if I agree with her, but it's a powerful statement because I'm like, well, you know, especially my heart breaks if I see her in pain or whatever. But what it triggered you know, before that, going through all this, I was a real type A. I'm still probably very type A, but I was a, you know, very type A driven, and I lacked empathy. I lacked compassion. I mean, I'm a young guy. I feel invincible, and I can't really relate to sickness or pain because I hadn't really experienced much. I hadn't even really experienced deaths in our family until a little more recently with some grandparents. So I just kind of had that mentality. So then when we get through this, I got completely knocked back, but it made me really a changed man, where now I started to see people and I started to have empathy and I started to have compassion and I started to see the world around and realize, wow, people are hurting everywhere. And I started to have a greater depth there. With my wife and I, our relationship was tested for sure, strained for sure, but ultimately got stronger as we got through these seasons and these situations. And when I think about all of the hardest seasons, I think about going through the recession, you know, with the housing crisis and losing our homes. I mean, it made me a much more lethal entrepreneur. It made me much more understanding of the ups and downs. And a lot of the up and coming generation, maybe 5-10 years back from me, didn't live through 2007, you know, 8-9, and didn't. Things have been so good in the economy, like, anybody can kind of make money right now. But what about when it really, like, when it gets tough again? And so all of that to say, you're totally right. I think that it's so important that we, you know, call it what it is. If situations are bad, grief is important going through all of that. But I really do believe that these obstacles and challenges that hit our lives can become opportunities, and they really make us stronger. So much to say too, that our story, as I've told our story and as I've shared it, it's been the thing that people connect with. And nobody really connects with, like, so you know what? I was born into the perfect family, and I was handed everything with a silver spoon. And then I built a business with no challenges. And then my marriage was because number one, that's nobody's life. But if that's the story that we're even telling, you know, people can't relate to that. But it's so powerful. I mean, I feel like where humanity really connects is in the struggle, because that's one thing we can all relate with, is so much blessing and so much good, but a lot of struggle. And I do believe that the struggle can lead us all to success if we embrace it that way. Stay positive, stay on top of it, look for the opportunities, keep learning, keep going, keep growing. Then we really can get to the destination and our calling. I believe that.
Absolutely, absolutely. Again, thanks for sharing. I really appreciate that. It's so powerful. And I really hope that people take this and move, because the biggest thing that I'm seeing is that people have an idea, and it most of the time it's a really beautiful idea that can have a really big impact on people, and they start, they fail, and they quit, they shut down. You know, and that's one of the things as an entrepreneur, you always hear that, what is it, like 90% of the entrepreneurs fail in like the first 2 years or something like that. And, you know, the way I see it, entrepreneurship is just all about just moving forward, continuing doing that, being, like you said, positive, fail a lot, often, and learn from these failures, of course, and then keep going and keep growing. You know, what I'm wondering from you is, what are some of the biggest lessons that you've learned on your path of beginning as an entrepreneur to the stage of where you are now?
Yeah, that's a great question. I've learned a lot on the path. I think probably one of the biggest mentors or the biggest lessons is actually the importance of mentorship and learning. You know, I think I've probably avoided a lot of mistakes, a lot of pitfalls, a lot of challenges, and I've had tons of failures and things. However, I think I've avoided a lot of them because I've pursued mentorship and coaching. And so I mean, it makes sense. For instance, we just did our first live event. So we just had our first live event in Vegas. It was very intense. You know, we invested about $100,000 to pull it off. And so that's by far the biggest kind of project, the most overhead we've taken on so far in our business to do one thing that was completely not guaranteed. We'd never thrown one before. Sure, we have a level of an audience, but anyone who's ever thrown a live event, any kind of a conference, they know how much work goes into it, how hard it is. So it was a big risk. And one of the things, it ended up being a big success. No guarantee that it would have. And it was our first event, but the truth is it wasn't our first event. You know, back in 2003, meaning I've been involved with events since 2003, you know, even as running a small youth group, our budget was $100 for an event, you know, and like we had to get the freeze pops and like the signage and print out the flyers, you know. Now it's $100,000. Then it was $100, but I still was learning and observing, right? Over the years, I have made it a point, and I remember reading a book called Rich Dad, Poor Dad by Robert Kiyosaki. And he said, one of the smartest things you can do as you're growing is do things like volunteer for free and intern places. So I've always valued wisdom, and you know, in Proverbs it says wisdom is the principal thing. And so I've always wanted to just get around mentors, learning environments. And if that meant working for free or working for cheap or interning, that's been my path since 2003. So if it just was one lesson, it would be like not just trying to go it on your own to do it alone, but to realize someone else has already been down that path. They've already made the mistakes. And to be smart and to either align yourself with them or learn from them, you know, you can avoid so much. There's three ways to get wisdom. The first one is through your own mistakes. That's the worst way to get wisdom, you know, is to like, hey, let me try to throw an event. Shoot, I failed at all of this. Let me do it better next year. How about you learn from someone else? You know, the second way is someone else's mistakes, you know. It's much better. Like, and so, for example, one of my mentors, Shalene Johnson, I've been a part of her event, Marketing Impact Academy, for the last 4 years. I shot the video testimonials. I've seen behind the scenes. I've seen the way they market it. I've heard the conversations. I've had other mentors in my life where I you know, on the drive to the airport, I heard him talking about, so how do we do? How close do we come? And I've been observing. I've been paying attention. So I've been studying, you know, and learning and immersing myself with mentors. And then the third way to get wisdom, though, is you can also buy wisdom. You know, I think it's so funny that we can buy a $20 book, a $15 book, and potentially get a decade of someone's life. Again, with the 25 pitfalls they hit that they're warning you not to go down. And it's so surprising that not more people will spend $20 or buy a conference ticket and a plane ticket or invest in a course, because the shortcut, that's the shortest way. You can buy wisdom. Like you can buy someone's already done the path. If you or I are going to climb Everest, Mount Everest, we're not just going to be like, you know what, let's just give it a shot. Let's head down there, like buy some clothes at REI and figure this thing out. Nobody does that. In fact, it's so dangerous. You never do that. What do? You get a guide who's done it before. You invest in training from someone who knows what you need to learn. And then you get a map, and that you follow that map, and you go up to one camp and down to one camp, and you go through a whole process that's been outlined. There's no reason to reinvent the wheel when people have been climbing Everest for years and they've already given us the template. I'm stunned, though, that a lot of entrepreneurs skip past the template. It's kind of like guys that have too much pride to ask for directions, and I'm guilty of that, right? Honey, I know how to get there. I don't need to ask for directions. Are you sure you know how to get there? Because I'm on my phone and it says we're going the wrong way. Well, your phone doesn't know anything. Siri doesn't know anything, you know? But I think that we need the humility to position ourselves. So anyways, that's the one lesson. Mentorship. You know, investing in learning, in interning. And so if there's a second lesson, I've tried to always pick jobs and positions. Now I'm a full-time entrepreneur, but on my journey, I've always picked jobs not because of the money I could make, but because of the personal development I could learn in those positions. So I was way less concerned with my salary and much more concerned with the environment, the lessons, the things I could learn. And so at every stage, I've wanted to be immersed in places that would level me up. And I've seen the value in that. I think that that is also a long-term, number three, having a real long-term perspective rather than a short-term perspective. I think some people, they want the money all today. They want the results all today. And I think it was Tony Robbins that said, people overestimate what you can accomplish in 1 year, but underestimate what you can accomplish in 10. You know, if I could choose, I'm here in Seattle right now streaming with you. If I could choose, which is a lot of like expensive cost of living here, but if I could choose, you know, if I could get $100,000 a year in a position, but like it just was just kind of be chill. It just kind of would be whatever. I would much rather take $60,000 in a position where I was around somebody that was going to level me up. I was in an environment that was going to level me up, because while you may have making more money in the short term, that position that is going to develop me is going to position me for much more success in the long term. And I think a lot of entrepreneurs are focused too much on the short game, where the long game is where all the action is. Like I'm fine for the next, you know, for the next decade even. Like, I mean, I'm only 35. Like I was watching a speaker named Ern McManus. He's 60, just killing it on stage. Last night, I'm watching it on YouTube. And I was like, dude, I want to be like him at 60. And if that's the case, I got 25 years. I can still be playing the massive long game and not trying to just get short-term ROI during that process. So those are a few things.
Exactly. Wow. Great lessons. I really appreciate for sharing that. Yeah, I'm guilty of the first one where you mentioned is like, try to gain wisdom by just making your own mistakes. And yeah, I would have loved to know. I didn't even know about the thing of mentors. Like I have the feeling for me now, it's like, wow, all of a sudden there's mentors everywhere, but I've never realized that. And I lost everything. I mean, I lost everything.
Wow.
So I lost, like, my son's now 5, but when he was 2, I lost like 6 months of his life that I wasn't there because I had to work far away from him. That hurts. So I love you sharing that. I hope people are paying attention to that because, yeah, what you're saying, a book costs $20, well, maybe 50 if you have a really, really big book, but still the knowledge that's in that book is ridiculous. And I didn't realize that until a year ago. So I'm really happy that you bring that up. And yeah, that's one of the messages that I'm sending out there as well, that hopefully people pick that up real quick.
And even practically, you know, one of the things that helped because I had this skill of on a video production. But I encourage people, I've used that skill. There's another proverb that says, you know, if you see a man who's skilled at what he does, he'll serve before kings, he won't serve before common men. And it talks about how your gift will make a way for you. But I thought about, like, I've always wanted to get in environments where I could learn. So I love conferences. I love personal development, personal growth. Because again, if I grow better and stronger and I get more wisdom and more ideas, even if my business fails. Like I remember one time somebody was talking to Henry Ford, right? The famous founder of a Ford Motor Company, who eventually amassed massive wealth. And someone said, well, yeah, well, of course, now you're confident. Now you're overconfident because you've got all this wealth. But they said, well, what if though? What if you lost it all? I mean, if you started from zero today, kind of like you got lucky, you know, what if you lost it all? What would you do? And what Henry said was, he goes, I'd just rebuild again. Why? Because he'd already built it, because he had gone through the process. He had learned the lessons. He had seen the ups and downs. He wasn't afraid of actually losing it all, because one thing you can't lose in life is your smarts, your wisdom, your emotional intelligence, your EQ, your IQ that you've developed, all these different things. So that's why I've always realized, like Warren Buffett says, the best investment you can make is in yourself. Because you can invest in Amazon, it might go up, it might go down. But when you invest in yourself and your understanding of whatever your industry. So all that to say is that over the years, early on, I went to a lot of conferences as the video guy. Because I wanted to go to those, and sometimes they'd say, hey, we'll pay you $200, you know, and I'd be like, that'd be like nothing. It like barely, but I was like, I'm not there for the money. Even they'd fly me out, cover my meals, pay me like $200, $500 or something. And I would produce work that was probably worth way more. But again, I was just there. I was like, just get me in the room. I just want to be a fly on the wall. I just want to learn. I want to observe. And so for some, getting on a plane, investing in some of these conferences or business development or learning, it could be expensive. I just want to encourage people. You want the resilience to find a way. If you can volunteer, you know, a friend of mine, Michael Stelzner, runs the largest social media marketers conference called Social Media Marketing World. Very expensive ticket. I mean, to go to the full thing costs like maybe $1,200, $1,500, but they have a volunteer program. Sure, you're going to have to do some work. Sure, you're going to have to do some things, but man, get there and volunteer, you know, like whatever stage of life you're in, or find a way to just like to get there, to be an administrative assistant, to help in some way, or to use your skills, because man, investing in yourself is always, always the best investment.
Absolutely. Yeah. And I like that what you mentioned, and it just clicked in my brain as well about being a volunteer, because these shows, they need so many people and so many volunteers that, yeah, the opportunities there, if you go after it, are really simple. And they're huge. So that's also a great tip. Thanks for that. So going a little bit more deeper into your expertise, you know, I was wondering, because there's so many different social medias out there. We got Twitter, Instagram, Facebook, YouTube, of course. And you know, everybody makes a different choice, but you know, what makes YouTube so powerful that, you know, people should definitely go with YouTube and build their business strategy around that? Or
yeah, what I love about YouTube, and to be fair, I think that social media in general is a massive opportunity. We use the different platforms. I think Instagram's great, Facebook's great, Pinterest, Twitter, LinkedIn, all these different platforms. The reason I love YouTube the most, though, is because it's a search engine. In fact, it's the second largest search engine in the world. So especially for business owners and entrepreneurs, every business owner has questions related to their business. They have frequently asked questions. So if you're a financial planning company, people are probably wondering, you know, what's the best savings account type, or what are my investment options, and asking actual questions. Cool thing about YouTube is because it's a search engine, people can type in questions of all kinds about money, about fitness, about health, about real estate. You know, it doesn't matter what the industry or the niche is, but it's a search engine, and your videos can show up on the other side of search, and therefore you can grow, you can get traffic, you can get discovered, potentially, even if you don't create new content. Like if you, what we call a ranked video, if you have one of your videos showing up on the other side of a question of your target audience, this is true for us. A lot of times our videos that are a year old or 2 years old or 3 years old are still getting views. Some of them are getting like 5 views an hour, which is insane. That's like me. Think about it from a business standpoint. Everybody needs leads. Everybody needs sales. So what do? You do cold calls. What do? You go door to door. And in a way, a YouTube video could actually be like me, Sean. Instead of going door to door in all the apartments surrounding me right now, I could, I am showing up inside of their house. In fact, they sit down at the computer, they ask some kind of a question. Hey, what's the best camera for YouTube? Bing, there I am, I'm at their door. Hey, Sean here, I'm happy to help. And you show up and you answer that question. The reason this is cool is when you do YouTube right, you can create really an army of ranked videos. You could create like this little library of ranked videos, videos that show up in search that are building your business on autopilot. The other social media platforms, I kind of call them the social media hamster wheel. Why? Because to succeed on the other platforms, they actually tell you the numbers. There's blogs about it. If you want to do Facebook really well on your fan page, you should be posting like 2 to 4 times a day. Twitter, 5 to 10 tweets a day. Instagram, probably 3 posts a day, like morning, noon, and night. You know, Pinterest, you want to be posting all these pins and staying on top of it. All these different platforms. So they're different. They're fine, but the content demand, they're almost like a content monster, like the cookie monster. Like they're just like, feed us, feed us. And a lot of times if we do a Facebook Live, like right now, this Facebook Live probably won't be watched in 3 weeks. It'll be so pushed down. It'll be whatever. Whereas on YouTube, a lot of times an interview content like this could actually be watched not just 3 weeks from now, but 3 months from now, and with suggested videos and search. So that's where YouTube has a massive advantage. Easier said than done. You got to put in the work. You got to shoot the videos. You got to optimize them. But YouTube is massive. And there's a few other reasons. I mean, 1.9 billion monthly active users are on YouTube right now with Gmail accounts. That's logged in users. You know, Facebook's 2.2 million, but they've kind of been on a little bit of a recession since the Cambridge Analytica stuff, and people's trusts have gone down. They're kind of losing the younger demographic. That's not a doomsday prophecy about Facebook. It's just that Facebook is going through some of its challenges. Instagram's really healthy, 1 billion users. But YouTube, no question, is the king of video. So if you're serious about business, if you're serious about building your brand, it is irresponsible for you not to be on YouTube, in my opinion.
Exactly. Wow, great. Thanks for that. I'm happy I'm on YouTube and now even more.
Yeah.
So, you know, now that we learn from you how powerful YouTube is, you know, what's your system to integrate this into your business, you know, business strategy? And, you know, what should people take into account, or what should be their first step to really make sure that that things click?
I think that every entrepreneur should think about creating a weekly show. I think that every entrepreneur should also be thinking about being a media company. And that's kind of a quote that I've heard kind of a social media online mentor of mine, Gary Vee, say a lot. And that is, you want to become a media company. So if you have a pool cleaning company, right? You clean pools, even if that's local, Your YouTube channel gives you the opportunity to build a brand and to potentially put out content that's just about like how to clean your pool, you know, the three different types of chlorine that you need to know about, you know, the best accessories for scooping leaves out of your, and anybody who's in a niche, whether that's pool cleaning, or again, whether that's life coach or helping somebody with fitness, you would know all the topics. Like you would think, yeah, it's the questions that people ask me and whatever that is. And what's cool is you then create that weekly show around those topics and ideas. You're now showing up in a way, adding value, free value, which helps build bridges and connections. You know, people do business with people they know, like, and trust. And the problem is that this is where social media helps us is, but nobody can actually start trusting you or liking you unless they know you first. So step number one is awareness. That's where content marketing comes in. That's where it's so powerful, is awareness that people could even just know that you exist. And one of the best ways for them to know that you exist is not by selling them something. No one wants to be like, if someone comes to the, you know, like there's usually a step or two before a sale is made. So if all you're doing is pumping out marketing messages, you're really doing it wrong in 2018 and 2019. That's why free content marketing is that doorway into people knowing who you are and what you do. So if you create a weekly show, let's say you shoot one video a week with frequently asked questions, tips related to your business, just general stuff that would just add value, help people. You know, the objection to this is people go, well, what if that person ends up not doing business with me, but they just consume my free content? That's fine. Like, what is wrong with that? You're getting known by more people. Not everyone's going to do business with you anyways. The platform YouTube is free. It can reach people also at scale. So maybe 10 people watch it and they just go, okay, I'm going to go clean my own pool. But, you know, number 11 is like, okay, well, can you help me do that? You know, they're like, I want to skip it. That's thanks for the education, but I'm just deaf. I'm too busy. I'm not going to do it myself. You're getting on people's radar. That's what content marketing is. And so I would create that weekly show. And then what you have an opportunity to do is, you know, a lot of businesses would probably benefit if they don't already have one from like a newsletter, like a weekly newsletter that updates people. What are you going to do in that? Educate, let people know about specials, let people know about promotions or whatever that is. But one of the things you'd have the opportunity is you could say, watch this episode, this week's episode of, you know, Rockstar Pool Show. You know, the show that will help make your neighbors jealous by how clean and awesome your pool is. And you're like, every week we come to you with, you know what I'm saying? And now you're creating a pillar of content that's coming out once a week. And you can include that in your email newsletter. You could share it on social media. You're adding free value. People can get to know you. They also, what are they getting to know? They're getting to know you're an expert. They're getting to know that you know what you're talking about. You're getting an opportunity to dispel myths. You're getting an opportunity to identify what the biggest mistakes are and then potentially educate about how people can do business with you. And I think that also, even for local businesses, you might say, well, a lot of people might watch internationally. That's fine. Like, hey, the more awareness, the better. But it's also going to even make you stronger locally because we're living in a world where I believe personal branding matters. And I believe that having a brand matters. And here's the deal. If I'm going to go with two different pool companies and I land on one website and there's a cool video embedded of like, you know, the key leader and that person is like, hey, what, you know, what's up? Da, da, da. And I see like, man, these guys got 5,000 subscribers on YouTube and they're pumping out content and I can see them. Like, I don't just see a website with a stock photo of some person with a phone headset on. You know, like I'm seeing the actual people that are involved in the business. I'm getting their vibe. There's going to be some social proof, some social credibility, some industry authority that comes with having some level of a personal brand. And if it's that versus the guy that doesn't have one and they're both in my same city, I'm probably going with the guy that's got the branding, right? That's got like, that's the industry expert. That's the go-to authority in their space. So anyways, that's what I'd want people to think. And the reason I want to distill it down to be as simple as possible is to say, look, weekly show. You could do more. You could possibly do yes, but I think that's the minimum. I think that just bring out, and here's a hack. Batch produce those episodes. Shoot 4 episodes all at once And then you've got a month's worth of content. So that's only 12 shoot days a year. And so, you know, grab an intern, grab a coworker, or just put your camera on a tripod and go stand out, you know, behind that pool or someone's pool and be like, hey, today we're talking about, you know, the three biggest mistakes people make that are costing them money they don't need to spend when it comes to keeping your pool maintained. Coming up, you just share some tips. It could be a 2-minute thing, a 3-minute thing, just valuable. And then you also, by the way, even if you put that on YouTube, that video content can be distributed to other platforms. You could upload that to LinkedIn. You can maybe change the ending and upload it over at Facebook and upload on your Instagram. And so this is just where the world is going. I think there's tons of stats out there that most consumers, somewhere upward of 90%, prefer to watch a video before they make a buying decision online. With more and more online shopping, they want to watch some video content explaining what the product is or showing it off or whatever it is. And this could be service-based, this could be software, this could be fashion, this could be anything at all. So I think embracing the fact that we need to be, here's what it is, content creators. A lot of business owners and entrepreneurs are wearing the main hat of their business, but they don't think of themselves that way. You have two options. Either one, you start becoming content creator yourself, or your business is more sophisticated, you got all this revenue, is you onboard somebody or you start working with somebody or you start outsourcing someone to be creating content, because content is relevancy in this economy.
Exactly. Just one question in regards to what you mentioned, the weekly show. Does it matter then if that's a live show or if that's a recorded show that you schedule and then post later?
I don't think it matters at all. I think a live show would be fine as well. You could go live for a long time. You know, we're hanging out for an hour right now, or you could also go live for just 5 minutes and maybe just talking head, answer some questions. You know, you could go live and walk through your local pet shop, your local coffee store, and say, hey, we're right here based right in the middle of Lake Union, right across from the lake. Check this out. If you come inside, we just installed some new decorations and we just added 5 new menu items. You know what I mean? Like, you're just pumping out content. And so, yeah, I think going live, you could go live from your phone. It could be more produced. I think that there's a lot of flexibility on what kind of content you produce. But I do think consistency is a big deal. Here's one of the big mistakes that people make. And I understand, I'm empathetic. You've got, you know, books to balance and staff to deal with and a lot of other things that could be happening. But, you know, consistency builds trust. You know, I mean, I've been married now to my wife since 2005. We're coming up on our 13th year anniversary. And she, you know, but how do you think it would have went if I scheduled a date with her? We went on one date. It went amazing. She thought we were great. You know, things are great. So then I said, for a week later, Saturday, I'm going to meet you at the restaurant. I'll be there. So she goes, she sits down, 30 minutes go by, 60 minutes go by. She's texting me. I'm not responding. You know, now it's an hour. She's not happy. You know what I mean? Like, if I'm not showing up to that second date, I just ghost her. I don't reply. Maybe if I'm lucky, I get grace. I'm like, you know what happened? My phone was stolen. I got a flat tire. You know, maybe something's okay. That makes sense. But let me tell you this. Now, a week later, I schedule another date with her. And I'm like, I'm going to be there. It's going to be amazing. And it happens again. You know, 30 minutes, six. She's like, where is he at? I'm telling you, we're probably not married today, if that's what I'm doing, right? But yeah, so many people do that with their content and with their promises. They're like, I'm starting a YouTube channel, or I'm going to start adding value, or I'm going to start showing up for you. The reality is, if you're going to build trust with your audience, you have to show up consistently. And sometimes too, people get discouraged. Like, they think, well, I've been doing this for 4 weeks and it's not working yet. Like, what are you talking about? You know, I'll tell you this. If you invest in your marriage relationship for just 4 weeks and you expect it to just work, that's not going to work either, man. Great things take time, patience, investment, and hard work. And so as a business owner, entrepreneur too, that weekly show is something, if you just commit to it, you might spend, I'd even say this, you might spend a year. It's way less about the results and it's more about the practice. It's more about learning the platforms, figuring out your voice. You can have a lot of wins. You could get new customers and new sales in that process, but you just need to do this stuff anyways to learn, to wrap your head around it, to figure it out. And then over time, you could get better and refine your process, but you got to stay consistent. Consistency builds trust, and there's so many abandoned channels because, again, I think we get impatient as entrepreneurs and we do like 2 weeks of it, and then we just get distracted. We never do it again. And then we're like, ah, that didn't work. No, it's not that it didn't work. It's that you didn't work it long enough to figure it out and actually get the results.
Absolutely. Yeah. Consistency is one of the things that you mentioned. Watch the video. I think that's one of the biggest things that you come up with every time that it comes over in your book as well. What are some of the other things that for someone that's starting out on YouTube that he should take into account? Or better said, you know, what are some of those YouTube secrets that you share in your book that are so important to become successful?
Yeah, I think there's 7 C's of YouTube success. The first one's courage, and we talked about that earlier. You just got to do it. The second one's clarity, you know, and consistency is number 7. So clarity, I think, is the other big thing that is really important. I think number 1, that clarity is just important in general. Like, it's not just a YouTube thing. It's a business thing. You got to know who you are, you know, what's your business about? What's the value that it offers? You got to know who your target audience is. Critical. And whatever you're doing is not for everybody. You might wish it was, but it's not. If you try and reach everybody, you end up reaching nobody. There's 7 billion people in the planet. Not everybody likes the same restaurant. Not everybody likes the same music. Not everybody wants to buy the same car brand. Not like there's so much diversity out there. So you really want to know who's your target audience. And then you want to know what's your value proposition. That goes more to like, what are you doing for them? What are you showing up for them? You know, Headspace is a meditation app. They're not trying to reach people. Maybe they are, but they're not trying to reach people who will never do meditation. You know what I mean? I can't sell a book to someone who doesn't ever read books. You know, like that's just not the target audience. If someone's like, look, in fact, some people even told us, they've said, look, I only do audiobooks. There's no way. I love you, man, but I'm not going to get the physical book or the Kindle. That's why we're doing the audiobook. Cause they're just like, I just don't even do that. It's hard to sell, you know, a book to someone who doesn't read books. So knowing who your target audience is and knowing that that's a specific audience. And so clarity about all of those things. And I think that all of us as entrepreneurs, we should consistently be seeking clarity, clarifying our sales messaging, clarifying exactly who our specific target audience is. Sometimes we start a little broad, we get to know them more. We start learning like, wow, our thing really resonates with like male college students. And so let's actually narrow down our whole thing because that's what's hitting and not even females. Like actually it's male, you know what I mean? Like whatever it is, always seeking clarity for your team. That's a communication thing. Seeking clarity for your vision, for your mission. And so the same is true on YouTube. As far as in YouTube secrets, you want to have clarity about who your YouTube channel is for. And when it comes to that weekly show, what's your promise? So if you had a cooking channel, you might say, join me every Wednesday, 6 p.m. I'll upload a new video with a healthy recipe that's easy to make for families. And you have a show. So that's even more specific. It's not just like a cooking channel. It's like, look, every Wednesday, it's family meals that are fast, easy to make, and healthy. That is a great niche. You start a YouTube channel like that, and eventually people who are, guess what? Single guys, they're like, yo, I don't need this channel. But that's a good thing. Because if you try and reach everybody, you end up reaching nobody. Turns out, though, that word of mouth is spreading amongst moms and dads that are like, dude, have you seen this YouTube channel? These recipes are fast, they're easy, they're healthy, and they're for the whole family, and they're affordable, and every single week they're pumping out new content. You know what I'm saying? So now you've got a clear idea of your show. Clarity of what your show, what you're pumping out on YouTube could be, you know, every Monday I'm going to give you some mindset motivation. First thing, it's going to be uploaded 6 p.m. Eastern time if you're here in the U.S. And it's like, you're going to get 5 minutes to get your mind right, get you focused on your goals, and get you going towards. And it's just a promise. And then that's where trust comes in. Because again, you go 2 weeks, but then 4 weeks off, dude, you ghosted your girlfriend. She's not going to stay with you. You know what I mean? Like, she's not going to keep following your message because you want to then say, hey, I'm going to show up for you consistently. Here's how I'm going to show up for you consistently. And then what you need to do, number 3, is show up consistently over the long haul with, you know, serving your target audience with that really clear and valuable value proposition.
Nice. Yeah, amazing. And from what I've understood, this is what you dive in more detail and deeper within your book, correct?
100%. I'll give you the 7 C's. So, you know, courage, you start out, you got to punch fear in the face and press record. But the cool thing about all the 7 C's is they're not just like for beginners. You know, even if someone was a seasoned YouTuber and they're like, well, I already have the courage, I'm already confident on camera, I would challenge you, we need courage at every level. And if you think you don't need courage, then I actually know that right now you're actually comfortable. You're probably playing it way too safe if you don't need courage for the next thing. If you're actually making the moves you should be making as an entrepreneur, you should be a little bit scared almost all the time. You know what I mean? Like, we just onboarded some people, and so we're killing it in our business, but we just onboarded some new people. I'm like, that's more people we're accountable to. Some more overhead. That's some, you know what I mean? Like, always stretching. So there's always a new level of courage. Even if you're clear about your channel, there's always a new level of clarity. So that's what's cool. The 7 C's are not linear. They're circular. They're something that you do repeatedly. So you got to get courage. You got to get clarity. Then you got to set up your channel. So how do you set up your channel? We go through that, all the different tips. And even if you have a channel, it probably needs a spring cleaning. So auditing, going through your channel, getting it tight. Then your content. That's everything. Content is king on social media. If you're going to do content marketing, what matters is the content. And so then it's all about community. And that's one thing that's unique about YouTube is it's not like Hollywood or TV where it's kind of just a one-way conversation. It's two-way. And so really building a community, we give tips of how to do that practically. Then cash. Now you've built this thing. How do you monetize it? And then finally, it's consistency. And the practical on consistency is you want to create smart systems that allow you to be consistent and not burn out as it pertains to YouTube or social media in general. And that's because we don't assume that people, you know, this is the only thing they're going to do. We understand they got bookkeeping to do, the main things you need to do in your business, kids to raise, you know, a family to lead, time to take off, vacations. So you need smart systems so that this can be sustainable. And so it doesn't have to overtake your whole life. You want to create workflows and systems and routines and habits so that your output on YouTube over, and here's the thing, over the next 1, 2, 3 years, call it 10, like content marketing, content is relevancy in our economy. You're going to win over your competitors if you're pumping out content in a smart way and you're learning these platforms. So that's why you want it to become a habit. You want it to become a routine. You want something that you maybe do once a month. You batch produce some content. You structure your team. When you build all that in, because again, it can't take over your whole life. And so we give some practical tips in there. And that's actually just the first half of the book. The second half goes into some advanced tactics that are outside of the 7 C's. So we've broken it into two parts. The part one is the foundation. It's timeless. And then the second part is some of the tactics and advanced strategies are very much right now. And they'll be somewhat timeless, but the reality with the social media book is that in a couple of years, that part two, maybe some of the platforms have changed, some of the tactics have changed, but regardless, the book has that first part of the foundation. So that's kind of what YouTube Secrets is in a nutshell.
Nice. I'm looking forward to start reading it. It sounds really amazing. I'm just wondering, because we were talking earlier about, you know, being a mentor, and in between, I really love the fact you were talking about smart systems and habits and stuff. That's what I'm really working on at the moment. This is what my mentor is teaching me. We're talking about mentors. What are some of the, you know, amazing results? So there's results that you were really proud of some of your clients have achieved over time.
And so part of our vision for our business is to help 10,000 people create a full-time living, doing what they love and making a difference with online video. And so how do you measure that? Because it's different. So a couple examples of case studies on that journey. One is Justin Coe. So he's got a great channel called That Christian Vlogger. And he kind of is, so he's in the faith space. He's doing a little bit of like Bible studies that he kind of has like for sale that people can go through just like they would at like a Christian bookstore. He also has been invited to speak and tour the world. He's doing this full time. So we met when he was at maybe a few hundred or maybe just 1,000 subscribers. I think he's at about 65,000 now, and all kinds of doors of opportunity have happened. So that's an example of someone who's gone through what's in YouTube Secrets, essentially, and is being full-time as kind of an influencer. In a way, he's a digital missionary and an actual traveling the world missionaries as well. So then another example is like my friend Nick, who already had a successful business, but he wasn't on YouTube. And so he was basically able to add, if you will, full-time, create massive more revenue by going through this process. And so his business is called Grayscale Gorilla, but he was only on Vimeo. So after implementing some of these strategies, they really took over the YouTube world. And I'm not sure how much, but to the tune of lots of revenue. So now we're talking about employing other people as companies grown because of going through YouTube. So that's another way winning could look like. And then another example would be like Heather, who is on my team. So she is getting a paycheck from us, but she also has, she started a channel because she's a homeschool mom. It's called The Homeschool House. Now it's at 10,000 subscribers. And she's built this community of other homeschool moms that want to learn and help each other and support each other. But what's crazy is she just told me just yesterday, she got a check for $120 from affiliate marketing from Amazon. And so because of her homeschool channel, they don't pay for any of their homeschool. Like they either get the curriculum free because we'll talk about it on their YouTube channel, or they're making revenue in different ways. She's done brand deals to the tune of almost $2,000 here and there. So this side kind of project, even though she loves what she's doing, we're working together and she's killing it in our business as our operations officer, she is also creating extra revenue for her family around something that she loves and enjoys doing. And so that's kind of another expression, if you will, of what winning could look like. So the cool thing about this is it's a pretty flexible, you can inject YouTube into your existing business and help it scale. You could actually make YouTube a business, like in the sense of we know this as YouTubers or gamers or whatever. You also could do YouTube as a side hustle or a support platform that is something that you just monetize from your hobby a little bit, or you start building a side hustle or a side brand that maybe will become more of a main thing later. There's so many different paths. And so right now on the journey, we're at almost like 30 people or so. Because like I said, again, you know, what does full-time mean? But like just different people who've, another person, Jennifer, the Sewing Report, she's gone full-time. She has a sewing channel and a channel called X-TV Producer. So she quit her job at CNN and now she's pursuing all of her YouTube stuff full-time. And it's really cool. So it's looking very different, because it's a really exciting space, right? There's many different paths, but I think that there are proven principles that all of those different paths share in common, and we do our best to cover those in the book YouTube Secrets.
Sounds amazing. As I said, I can't wait. We're almost getting to our time, and I have several more questions, maybe even more that come up in my head at the moment, but as one question I really want to ask you, if that's okay, of course, because we're running down time. Is that okay?
Sure.
Cool, yeah. Thanks. So, well, we both know Owen Hemseth. I always want to say Owen Video. But I had him on last month as a guest, and he was talking about the vision for his kids, really passionate. I was loving it. And part of his vision was that for his kids, he wants to have them start a YouTube channel and start generating a monthly income at a very young age. And I was loving it. And I was just wondering then, you know, how much does what you share apply for kids? How can we as fathers teach us that? And then something happened, and I don't have that here that I share with you, but a good friend of mine from the UK, his son is, I think, 6, and he started his own YouTube channel, and his father shared one of the videos that he made. And it was cool. The kid was really confident and was really awesome. But here's what scared me. There was somebody underneath that shared a message just saying hello, but the name was like Booty, blah, 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 blah. So you know what I'm getting at, right?
Yep.
And I was like, ooh, but that's something that I don't want. So I'm just wondering, you know, what's your advice and what are negative aspects that we should prepare for that could happen that, you know, you might want to take into consideration?
Yeah. So first of all, Owen Hemseth, Owen Video is incredible. So I just to say, love that guy. Incredible entrepreneur, father, husband, leader. So much respect for him and the business he's building. Super great guy. And then in answer to the question of his idea of having his kids start YouTube channels and make money, I think it's brilliant. You know, I think that it, to answer that third question, that we are living in scary times. Social media has been proven to be addictive. Social media has been proven to, when taken to extremes, to reduce happiness. And then obviously access to things like pornography or whatever other things that exist on the internet. So there are a lot of scary sides to it. But the other thing is that it's also just sort of the nature of the world we live in. So to kind of answer both questions at the same time, I don't think, and I say this with, you know, reverence to of all the actual parents, but so it's just my point of view and the way I will raise my kids. I don't think that, you know, we can't change the world the way it is. And these tools, like right now, businesses are wanting people who are technically savvy. Businesses want to be hiring people who can be content marketers for them, whether that's be on camera or produce video or learn how to monetize or learn how to code or that are digitally savvy. So I think one of the smartest things parents can do is encourage their kids and help their kids embrace these platforms, learn these tools. So much to say, almost to say this, I started, you know, at 21 getting this head start of doing videos in my youth group. I'm now seeing kids who are starting at 6 and I'm like, man, they have such a head start. When they're 18, even if they don't succeed, it's all learning. Like just the fact that they've had one or two YouTube channels and they've uploaded 100 videos and they've gone through that process. Like that's the kind of things I want my kids to be doing. So I think it's absolutely awesome and something parents should absolutely do because it's going to teach kids hard skills and soft skills, but just going through the process of creation, of learning and of trying things and experimenting. Just like a lemonade stand is going to teach you some things about business that you could use later, you know, embracing some of these tools is going to do that. And then the last thing I would say is that, you know, probably two things. One, when it comes to the dangers of it. One, it's completely on the parents to know, manage, and oversee, you know, all the above. Like, at least as it pertains to what's happening underneath your roof, what's happening on your internet connection, whether you're using firewalls or servers or routers that are blocking certain sites or flagging certain keywords, all of that exists. And if parents say, I'm not sure what that stuff is or how to do that, that's on you. There's a thing called Google where you could go figure that out. There's seminars, there's conferences. I think that the digital literacy of baby boomers and even millennials needs to be raised so that you can lead Gen Z and the upcoming generation. You could say, well, I didn't grow up with that. Like, but you don't have a choice. Like, that's the world we're living in, number one. And then number two, though, I think that we just need a level of grace. You know this. You can't protect your child from everything. And you weren't protected from everything. You know what I mean? Like, you know what you got into. I know that, like, I mean, shoot, I was dubbing tapes. I was getting tapes of, like, hip-hop music, you know, with swearing and stuff in it. In second grade, like, handed to me on the playground, and I was, you know, listening to that stuff when I should have been. And that was, and my parents were amazing. Like, at some level, I look back and I'm like, again, like, I'm alive, you know, like, so like, I think there is a tension there to where I don't think we can micromanage or over control or over sanitize the environment. But I think that we definitely as parents can do our best to offer as much success. And the final thing that I would say is I think it would almost be dangerous to try and keep, you know, to take that Amish approach, no disrespect to the Amish, because you could just go so extreme. At some point, your kids are going to face these things. They're going to embrace these things, but you actually could be setting your child up for to be extremely behind in culture and business in just being savvy with what is happening in the real world. And they'd have a lot of catching up to do if they don't just know about, you know, same thing like Snapchat. Like, I get it. There was sexting and like all the kids are like sending each other pictures and stuff. And I think that for parents, and this is again, how I will parent. I think that yes, you want to protect, but you also want to just have conversations. Every challenge or mistake is an opportunity to learn, to coach, to mentor, to speak through things. And so I don't want to be flippant with the dangers, but I do think that you just kind of have to embrace them and coach your kids through them, if that makes sense.
Absolutely. A lot of wisdom for a man that has no sons or daughters of his own yet. So I really appreciate that. Thanks. And I assume that the seven C's, that whole strategy, that whole way of building up your channel is going to be exactly the same, no matter what your age is. And you don't have to tweak it or anything, right? Awesome.
Yep. Yep, it is. And some people have even said, I mean, obviously, I think this would be a good book if someone wants to do YouTube, for sure. If someone's just exploring it, for sure. But also the seven C's, they're practical for all platforms. So even if YouTube, right now I'm excited about a lot of things. LinkedIn video, I'm excited about video on Instagram. And the same is going to be true. You got to have courage to punch fear in the face. You've got to have clarity about who you were trying to reach. You've got to set up your channel. Maybe that's your LinkedIn page, your LinkedIn business page, your Instagram profile. You've got to engage, you know, pump out content. You need to engage with the community in the comments. All these platforms are social networks. So they're social. So there's community. There's ways to monetize on all the platforms. And then you got to stay consistent. So the seven C's, while they are YouTube secrets, they are very transferable to digital marketing in general.
Absolutely. So to close this off, where can people buy the book?
So right now you could go to tubesecretsbook.com. That's T-U-B-E, tubesecretsbook.com. And that'll just also take you to Amazon or Barnes & Noble online, which is the best place to get it right now. If you want to go to Amazon directly, it's there, including local countries. So Amazon UK, Amazon Mexico, you know, Amazon Australia should be in all of those and available. And of course, here in the US, ebook and physical book is out right now. We're going to be on other platforms like iBooks and Google and all these things. But it'll be some time. And then the audiobook should be coming out like beginning of November 2018.
Nice. Killing it. That's good to hear. So last thing I always want to do is, you know, let's say fathers are listening to this and they still have some questions for you, or they just want to keep following you. How can I do that? How can I get in touch with you? How can I keep following you?
Yeah. So the best place to reach me is seancannell.com. That's S-E-A-N, Sean, my first name, and my last name, Cannell, C-A-N-N-E-L-L.com, seancannell.com. And that'll take you to my various free content on YouTube, training videos from our different YouTube channels. Plus there's ways how to work with me or email me or any of that stuff. It's all there on that website.
Excellent. Well, thanks so much again. I really appreciate it. I hope that people learned as much as I have just in this hour. I really appreciate it. I wish you best of luck with all your projects. And I hope tons and tons of people are going to see the value of this book and get it. Because as you mentioned, mentoring and getting the book is so easy, and it's the easiest way to do. So thanks again. And I wish everybody a nice evening, morning, afternoon, and I hope to see everybody soon.
Thanks so much. Appreciate it.
Goodbye.
Bye.
Are you still meeting up with your friends now that you're a father? Kids making you stress out. You got no time for yourself to work out, read, relax. Can you still remember the time you were hanging out with your friends feeling energetic, happy, and confident? Spending time together and talking about your life and your crazy dreams. You're feeling alone now, don't you? No one to share your challenges with, and you're just running around from one storm into the next. Well, it's time to change this now. Join me and the Brotherhood of Fearless Fathers to speak on a weekly basis with like-minded dads to crush your challenges, face your fears with determination, be held accountable, and regain control of your life. If you want to become the hero your family needs you to be, then go to becomeafearlessfather.com/brotherhood. Looking forward to seeing you on one of our next calls.